Dan Hicks is the father of three daughters, which makes him not only one of the busiest broadcasters in the business, but also one of the busiest fathers in the business as well. He's joining me right now. Dan, how are you, my friend?
John, I'm great, man. And, you know, that was quite a segue. Any time you can go from three daughters to, you know, talking golf, that's pretty good stuff right there.
There's only one job requirement that I have here, and that is to not swear on the air. Beyond that, it's all about being just full of it. How have you been? You've been busy.
I have. You know, every time you get through one of these summers, you got golf and you got other things. I did a World Swimming Championships, which I kind of threw in there in Spain, and you know, threw that in there. And so I was in Barcelona for a couple of weeks, which is not a bad city to hang out in, by the way. But you know, threw that in there, and then I get back, and we've got the U.S. Amateur, and we did the you know, the first our first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. All of a sudden, it's like, what happened to the summer? So. And Notre Dame football as well. We did the opener for that just before I did the second or third and fourth rounds of the Deutsche Bank Championship. So, yeah, it kind of bottlenecked a little bit there, leading from late summer to early fall.
Well, and of course this week, next week, and then obviously the President's Cup. So you guys have a full golf slate in addition to your football slate, in addition to all the other things that you do. How do you balance it all, Dan?
You know, John, it's, and I tell everybody the same thing. It is not easy, especially working with. I work with my wife.
Right.
I work with her on a lot of things, but we gotta be in cahoots on the schedule because she works. She's got a big job, obviously, over at ESPN, and so with three girls now, two of them teenagers and one about to make it 3 for 3, it just keeps getting busier from a home standpoint, and then. Job standpoint, you got to just kind of, you know, feed it all in. So a lot of communication, a great thing called iCal, which we put on our iPhones and our MacBooks and look at daily and, you know, 5-6 times a day to make sure we're not going to miss anything. It's a jigsaw puzzle, but somehow, some way, we've been able to manage through the years.
Well, I think that it's a testament to the effort that you guys put in. And for the listeners who don't know, Hannah Storm, who you see on SportsCenter virtually every morning. Now, does that mean when she does the morning SportsCenter, does that mean that she has the afternoon to?
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah, in fact, she did SportsCenter today. She hasn't done a lot of SportsCenters lately because she was doing the U.S. Open tennis. But now she's in one of those times in her schedule where she'll be cranking out SportsCenters pretty much Sunday through Wednesday or Sunday through Thursday. She gets up early in the morning and gets out there, and it's about an hour 15 from our house up in Bristol, Connecticut, and she gets home, yeah, I'd say for the most part at about that 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, 2 in the afternoon range, but she's pretty beat, pretty tired when she gets home, so she might steal a nap for a half hour or 45 minutes before she kind of cranks it up with the rest of the girls' activities for the rest of the day and whatever we're doing. So, you do get a little bit of time back on the back end of it, but at the same time, for the Sunday Sports Center, which is the biggest sports center they do, she's up at like 3:30 in the morning going into town for that. So, she worked a morning show before that, so she's like, and she's not a morning person, which is crazy, but she's been able to somehow, some way, muster up the energy to do all these early morning hours for all these years.
As you know, I mean, when you're in broadcasting, you do what you're asked to do. And
You do what you do. And it's funny, John. I don't think a lot of people, or I don't think most of the people out there, you know, when you get on a radio show and you do your thing, and sure, a lot of times you just, whatever time constraints are, you just kind of get on and you wing it, so to speak. But for the most part, we're all trying to be prepared. We're all trying to go into the show with a little bit of knowledge and a little bit about what we're talking about, or else it's not going to be all that entertaining, or we're not going to enhance the event we're doing. So there's a lot more work that goes into it that people don't realize, and you just got to fit it in whenever you can.
I read an article recently that they're moving you outdoors at the 2014 games in Russia. Is that right?
Well, I am. You're right. That's a good way to put it. I'm going to be moving outdoors and be doing alpine skiing. I've done the speed skating at the Winter Olympics for the past three Winter Olympics, and I've done swimming, obviously, for the Summer Games, but it's a new winter sport for me coming up in Sochi, Russia in 2014, alpine skiing. So I figure that as long as all these years I've talked about Tiger Woods, I can at least, you know, throw in there his girlfriend, Lindsey Vonn, as the next star of what I'll be talking about. And obviously, she's a great story coming back from the knee injury, which happened at the World Skiing Championships in Austria earlier this year. And there's been a lot, everybody knows about that. But, yeah, it's been a new sport that I've had to kind of immerse myself in and learn, but we got good people around it that can kind of get me through it, and I'm excited to do it.
Yeah, that's, I said this before you came on. It must be so cool for you. I mean, obviously, a tremendous amount of work, but fun to go from sport to sport, where, you know, you have to learn not only the athletes themselves, but in some cases the lingo. Every sport has its own language.
There's no doubt. Every time, you know, and this year's been toward the end of last year and into this year, making the adjustment to skiing, and then also kind of getting boned up on Notre Dame football and kind of getting immersed in the college football and just calling football games again and getting abreast of all the new rules and just kind of gearing up for that. And then, yeah, all this stuff kind of comes together at different times of the year where your focus changes, but at the same time, it does make it interesting. And I love golf. I mean, that's pretty much been my niche at NBC Sports, but at the same time, being able to do football again, do some skiing, do some new sports, just really freshens up the whole job. And I've been lucky to have to do some great sports that NBC Sports has been able to stay in the ballgame with and renew programming rights to, such as the Olympics, you know, and such as golf and such as Notre Dame football. So it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the USGA contract. Your reaction when you heard was it one of those things that the rumor had been circulating and you kind of knew, or did it blindside you?
You know, it's funny, and I think Johnny said this after it happened, and I did indeed have conversations with Johnny, who has proven to be clairvoyant on at least one occasion previously. He was telling me, as the negotiations were intensifying and we knew that we'd be finding out in a few weeks who was going to get the new USGA contract, he just said, you know, I got this feeling that it's really going to be dicey and that there's really going to be some people out there that are going to go for it strongly. And it wasn't that I disagreed with him. I just didn't really expect it to be Fox, to be quite honest. And so when it came down, the announcement came, I was actually in Spain when I was telling you. I was at the World Swimming Championships earlier this year in Spain. I was in Spain when I got the news, and I just was blown away that it was not ESPN, and it was Fox, who will go on the air at the U.S. Open in 2015, and do a golf event for the very first time, and it'll be the first round of the U.S. Open, which is pretty mind-boggling to think about. So, you know, it was a kick to the stomach. It was a real jolt to just know that after doing an event for all these years, it'll be an even 20, which is a great run, which has obviously been a fantastic run. In this world of sports, you never know what's going to happen around the corner. But to know that you're not going to be a part of that event, a part of the USGA Championships, is a tough thought. But so I will say that first of all, the reality of not doing it was really tough. But the reality of actually who ended up getting it was just as much as a surprise of not getting it.
Yeah, I totally understand. I'm still trying to figure out to whom to send my resume.
But you know what, John, just to kind of put a bow on it, you know, it's not like, you know, hey, Fox has proven, you know, time and time again that they can launch a sport on network television, and they have some very talented people over there. So to reiterate what a lot of my colleagues have said, I wish them all the best, and it's a great programming entity to have. It's a great championship, and we'll miss it big time, but that doesn't mean I'm gonna stop watching it. It'll still always be a special place, and in my heart and everybody else at NBC's.
Yeah, a U.S. Open without Johnny Miller, just it's hard to wrap your brain around.
Yeah, it is. And I felt the worst for him, really, of anybody, of all of our people. Tommy Roy, who obviously puts his heart and soul in it from an organizational standpoint. And then Johnny, who was a U.S. Open champion. And, you know, I mean, people can say what they want, but when we come on the air on that, especially on that final round Sunday, Johnny is an absolute emotional wreck because he just knows what the day has meant to his career. And he knows what it's going to mean to somebody's career by the end of that day. So I'll miss that probably most of all.
Well, and next year, you guys will be spending 2 weeks in Pinehurst, back-to-back with the men's and then the ladies. That's interesting as well.
Yeah, that is I think you picked the right word, interesting. Hopefully, weather-wise, Pinehurst is not going to have some crazy thunderstorm every afternoon, but they're very capable of having that, as anybody that knows has been to the Pinehurst area at that time of year. So I think it's a good idea. I think it's going to remain to be seen how it all pans out, especially with the Women's Open on the back end of it, how the course holds up. I mean, because we know by doing all these U.S. Opens through the years that, boy, by the end of the fourth round, or sometimes if it goes a fifth day with a playoff or weather pushing it back, the course and the surrounds are pretty worn out. I mean, that place is pretty beaten. And I don't know how it's going to affect the way the USGA goes through the course of setting up the men's open, which obviously is first out, versus how they think about how it's going to affect the women's open. But I think all those dynamics, for the first time ever holding that kind of major championship back-to-back weeks, is going to be pretty interesting to see how the whole place, you know, kind of holds up.
A quick question for you. I know that, and I know that you're pressed for time, as are we. We have two more weeks left in the playoffs. Phil Mickelson's had a great year. Adam Scott has had a great year. Topic of conversation seems to come up every day. Who's the player of the year? With 2 weeks left, who is your player of the year, with Tiger Woods having five victories, but Phil and Adam two each with a major?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think that still needs to be played out a little bit here with the guys involved that are still playing a couple more events if they all get to the Tour Championship, which seems highly likely. I think right now, as we sit here and speak, John, I think five victories is really tough to argue with. And I know how magical Phil's British Open was, and I know what an incredible Masters victory that Adam Scott had, in addition to the other times that they won. But I just think the multitude of victories, I think this year that Tiger Woods has put together has been phenomenal. It's not like he's been off the map in the majors, even though he didn't really contend deep into the back nine of any of them. That I can recall off the top of my head here. So,
no, you're right.
But even with that said, John, I think five wins trumps two wins, even with one as a major. So I would have to say that kind of piling up of W's by Tiger has been the most impressive.
Well, Dan, you're very kind to spend a few minutes with us. I will see you in Chicago this week and in Atlanta the following week.
John, anytime. Always a pleasure, man.